And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, covering all of North Alabama. I'm talking about way down south of Birmingham, up north of Huntsville, Tuscaloosa, back over to Gadsden, parts of Georgia, Tennessee, and Mississippi, all thrown in just for good measure. And, hey, listen, Boomer, by the way, I got to tell you, on the text line, I'm pretty stoked. Amanda from Decatur says she'll make us some homemade maple bacon donuts after Christmas.
Oh, all right.
That's the official food of Right Side Radio, by the way.
Official food.
I love it. We declared it this week. Yeah, that's good stuff. By the way, you know who I've not seen on the text line in quite a while is Grandma Wanda.
Oh, yeah.
I hope she's
Grandma
well.
Grandma Wanda, I hope you're having
doing
a Merry
good.
Christmas.
That's right. And if you're there out there listening to the show, just text us in. Hey, listen, we got a guest coming on right now. I'm pretty excited to have him on. We tried to have him on last week, but he and his family were traveling, and so he is back now. Brand spanking new state representative Ernie Yarbrough represents House District 7. He hails from Trinity, Alabama, up there just to the west of Decatur. So State Representative Ernie Yarbrough on the phone right now. How you doing, sir?
Man, I'm doing fantastic. Thank you for having me on again. It's always a privilege and an honor to be on your show, and I love and support what you do so much, man.
Well, thank you, and I appreciate you. And you are one of those, by the way, who ran against an incumbent. You came out of nowhere, and bam, all of a sudden you're like fresh out the box. You're a Republican state representative. How you doing?
No, we're doing great. No, it was definitely a something that wasn't on our radar 4 years ago, but it was something through just the providence of God and the circumstances kind of, besides being raised in a family loving history and freedom and politics and then COVID and just the wrestle around our freedoms and liberties, it kind of just was the last piece of the kindling and the match that struck the desire to jump in there and make a difference. And so we're just so grateful to the Lord for honoring our hard work and putting us in a place in the position where we can serve and make a difference.
Well, I know that feeling, and I don't know about you, but it was like late in the, I mean, like almost to the point of election day when I ran my first time that I realized, oh, if I win, I take office that night, like the night of the election, bam, instant senator, or in your case, instant representative. I don't think I even caught on to that till I was pretty close to the end of the election.
Yeah, I didn't either. I had some other friends of mine who were representatives who called that day, so it was such a fun day. We felt good about our polling, but you never know until, as it were, the fat lady sings, you don't know. You keep your foot on the gas pedal till you blow through the finish line, and then you look back and kind of steer almost like in a wreck toward the podium, you hope, But, we had all of our team out there. When they closed the polls, getting pictures of the receipts and texting it back, and we were calculating numbers. And then and the way it works in Lawrence County, we all go back to this big gymnasium. And so by that point, we felt like that the Lord had put us in a good position to win. So we, we called our friends and family and said, come meet us. And then when we got the official news there, it was just hugs and tears, and we actually all, as a big family there, we sang the doxology. We were so thankful for God blessing our work.
Wow. Well, listen, man, I hear from you every time we talk. Your faith is evident, and I'm so pleased about that. I think you even did a recent interview on another show or something about the idea of having more Christians willing to run for office. Your faith is definitely a piece of— It's instrumental that people realize that when you're elected as a person of faith, you don't leave your faith behind. You take it with you into what you're doing. What are your thoughts on being a Christian in office right now?
Yeah, no, I think, I think it's incredibly important that we acknowledge the Christian history of our country. And the reality is that, when it comes to law and truth and loving your neighbor as yourself and having righteous, fair standards of justice where you don't, you don't judge the rich any different than the poor, the high any different than the low, as it were, or whatever. The Founding Fathers spoke very openly about the fact that, I forget which one it was, he said that the Constitution was written for a religious people, and it's wholly inadequate for the government of any other. And so you see those religious terms of faith and acknowledgement in God and in the Lord woven throughout our governing documents. And so to me, it is a critical foundational piece. We live in a time where we see our culture and our nation in upheaval about what's right and what's wrong, what's up and what's down, what's a boy, what's a girl.
Yeah.
And so ultimately, I feel like that it is so important that we return to that hinge point and that center foundational piece that God has spoken, and that liberty and law. I mean, we even have it at our Supreme Court. There's the Ten Commandments. And so I think it's really important that we don't be afraid to establish and to maintain the point that our nation and our liberty has its roots in faith and in the Bible. And I think it's really important that we have leaders with courage and conviction to state that.
Well, I totally agree. I totally agree, and I support you in that. And I know the majority of our audience does too. And but I'll say this too. Yes, your faith is your guide, and I know that to be true. And yes, I believe your faith should be evident in all that you do, because if you're a person of faith, you should be a representative of faith. That being said, it's not like you don't know the issues and you only ran on your faith. I mean, you ran on the issues themselves, guided in part by your faith. And one of the things that really struck me, I hosted an event one night, a candidate forum, and you were there, and so was your opponent, who was the incumbent. And you had an amazing grasp of the facts and the figures and the ability to speak to the issues. And I think it shocked your incumbent, who you beat. But let me ask you this: of all those things that we talked about, and maybe more, is there any one thing that you're like, if I get to Montgomery and I can make a difference on a piece of legislation, I want it to be this? Fill in the blank. What would it be?
Yeah, no, I two areas that I feel very passionate about are our medical freedom and protecting our ability to govern what goes in our body without fear or threat of our job or our career. But also, I'm a big proponent of school choice. I think right now we see, you know, as I knocked about 8,000 doors between the primary and the general, so many parents were concerned about the hearts and minds and souls of their children. And, you know, right now we recognize that we're in this battleground culturally and politically, which, you know, goes back to the home eventually. But I feel like that a key and critical component of that battle is to let parents know, look, you have the power, you have the right and the authority, the God-given right and responsibility to safeguard the minds and hearts and souls of your children. And you have all the qualifications you need to guide and govern and safeguard your children by the very fact that God has given those children to you. And so I believe that school choice is a key component of that, because when you put the power back in the hands of those who are invested and given that duty by God, then you put the authority and the power to make the difference for that topic of education back in the right place.
Well, so let me ask you, I mean, and I'll just tell you, two of the losses that we've experienced, one is the retirement of State Senator Del Marsh, who was the Senate champion for school choice, and then the inability of Charlotte Meadows, Representative Charlotte Meadows, to overcome the gerrymandering of her district that caused her to have a far more uphill battle, and she lost her election. So we've lost both the House and Senate champions for school choice. Do you see other members of the body? Have you talked to anybody else who you believe will band together with you on the issue of school choice? Because right now it appears to be an uphill climb, in my opinion, with the sentiment we're hearing out of Montgomery.
Well, I do believe that there are others that will band with me and join with me in this battle. You know, the reality is that it probably is an uphill battle, but I do believe that there are. I've talked to many who have voiced their concern and their support for this idea, who are with me there in Montgomery. I think, you know, in the conversation and the topic, as we approach this topic, you know, I was recently on the Del Jackson show, and I used the example of a pyramid. You know, and so often these government structures are the structure of society that causes us to have a top-down dominated society where you have this pyramid. You know, Pharaoh built pyramids because he wanted to reinforce in part to the minds of the people that he was at the top and they were beneath him. You know, and so when you focus on the wide base of group rights and identity politics, it always leads to tyranny and control at the top by a few. But, you know, the American dream was you invert the pyramid, you put that point at the bottom. So the foundation was the individual liberties, the individual rights of the American citizen. And so as you go up, that pyramid gets wider, more people are involved in making decisions and casting votes, which is representative government, all to the point of back to that bottom base of preserving individual liberties and freedoms. And so my hope and prayer is that we can discuss this topic in the context of free market capitalism and of individual liberties and freedoms that I hope COVID and the abuses around COVID have brought to the forefront to make people to see, look, this is not simply an issue. It is an issue of making our schools better, because in a free market, competition, right, when you have free and true and honest competition, quality goes up and cost goes down. When the government controls everything top down and there's no repercussions for poor quality, then cost goes up and quality goes down, so our children suffer. But that's true across the board in so many things. So it's really just the educational aspect of restoring individual liberties and freedoms and putting the power back in the hands of consumers, customers, and citizens to make the choices that they know is best for their family.
Man, I tell you what, I wish everybody talked like you. But, I mean, I'm just sitting here enjoying this. I'm not thinking, okay, he's going to have to guest host my show one day. But, well, let me ask you this. Ernie, is this, by the way, remind me, is this the first time you've run for office of any kind? Or have you been in office?
It is, yes, sir. It is the first time, yes, sir.
Well, all right, so let me ask you this. Was there any kind of a surreal moment? Like, I mean, when I ran for the state Senate, I'll be honest, I knew I was running for something important. I didn't belittle it or take it lightly. But then I got down to Montgomery, and I walked in the Senate chamber for the very first time, and my name was on a desk, and it just hit me. I'm a part of something kind of unique and different, and I have a chance to do something important. Have you had any of those moments there where you had, like, you know, like a pinch me kind of moments?
I did, actually. Funny you mentioned that. It happened this week. So this week was amazing honor to be down in Montgomery for freshman orientation.
Yeah.
And I just want to take a moment to give a huge shout out to Scott Stathagen and the other, you know, previous freshman class that are 4 years in. They've arranged all this training and documentation and all these great things that they, you know, maybe previous folks didn't have. And in so doing, that first full day of training, they brought us into the state house and, you know, into the chamber where we cast our votes. And there it was. I walked in, I looked up, I took a deep breath, and I kind of let it out. I looked around and was like, wow, I kind of got a little bit emotional. And I found my seat with my name on it. And I just thought, wow, Lord, you brought me here to make a difference. And I just can't believe that I'm actually here and I'm seeing my name up on the board and on this booth where I get to sit. It was amazing. It was an amazing feeling.
Well, I'll be honest with you. I was walking one day outside the state house with Greg Reed, who is now the pro tem of the state Senate. And I happened to glance over, he and I were walking together, and I saw the Capitol dome in the distance. And I told him, I said, I hope I never get tired of this. And so anyway, blessings on you, my friend. I appreciate the fact that you've got that sentiment. And and literally, I really look forward to seeing what you're going to do. And thank you for spending time with us today.
Well, you're welcome. Thank you for having me on. And I just can't reiterate the importance that you have and other news agencies to help just turn light switches on and let freedom and truth ring. That's all we want to do. We don't have an agenda. We don't want to have our own good old boys club and our own. No, we just want truth and freedom and prosperity and liberty and righteousness to be the rule of the day so the people of the state of Alabama can enjoy their God-given blessings. That's all we want.
All right. Well, State Representative Ernie Yarbrough, House District 7, congratulations on being elected. Thanks for being on Right Side Radio. We look forward to having you back again sometime soon.
Thank you, sir. Look forward to it.
All right. Take care. Dang, man. Booms. I wish everybody talked like that.
Oh, you know? I know. I was like, whoa.
I'm just sitting here thinking, praise God. All right. Well, listen, folks, you heard it. That's one of your brand new state representatives. And by the way, just a dude, you know, never run for office before. When I ran for the Senate, I had never run for any office before. And don't think for a second that there is anything lofty about someone who's in the state legislature. They're all around your community. They go to the same churches, same restaurants, same work in the same office buildings because the legislature is a part-time job. But they go down there and they get to make decisions that impact the day-to-day life of everybody in Alabama. And so you need to get to know them and get to know who they are and find out what their sentiments are. And we need more people with sentiments like what we just heard. All right, let's take a break, buddy. I ran about a minute and a half longer than usual because we had a good thing going there. We'll come right back. I'm going to start up the second part of the Triple Dipper in other news. Things that are happening. One-off stories, but they deserve some attention. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. We'll be right back.